Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. Good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour. Here it is, Jonna Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. It is this guy, Frankenberry. And just to let you all know, when I first opened up the window here for the Zoom call, now I was a couple of minutes late. I was doing a recording for something else, and Jonna was the first one waiting.
Hello.
But Jonna was the first one. What? Hello?
Yeah. Okay. So Jonna always dominates the first segment because she's got something to complain about. And I'm not even complaining about her complaining because we enjoy her complaining. And we today do. I'm sitting here going, I can't wait for Frankenberry to start because I have something to complain about. And you just took my complaint. Anyway, carry on. Continue.
Well, they don't know what we're talking about. So you start with your complaint there, my friend.
Yes. Complaint number one. Please approach.
Please approach the window.
Are you done?
Sure.
Are you both done?
Maybe.
Twice.
I logged into the Zoom call before Frankenberry started it. And I'm like, do, 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 because he always jokes that I come in like right on time. So
hot.
I'm there.
She comes in hot.
I do come in hot.
She does.
So I was on before him. And by the time I get admitted, John is already admitted. And I was mad that he let her in first.
I'm sorry to
offend. I was here first.
Before we even started, I was a little bit late because, I had another recording and I was waiting for the first recording to do its converting thing. And when I first opened up the Zoom call, Jonna was the first one that I saw. I did not see you, Carol.
Otherwise, I
feel invisible. I feel like I don't matter.
Oh, God. You can't jump to a segue right now.
That's what she's getting at.
All right.
So go away.
We always do a brief promo. Yes,
right. So all tell us who we have.
Our guest in the second segment is a regular repeat friend of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. And she has a new book out called The Mattering Advantage. And it's primarily about how to really understand how to get employees more engaged and contribute more. But there's also an angle that the same concept is known to decrease depression and anxiety in teens and anybody. And it's understanding people knowing that they matter. So that was the joke. We'll talk more right before we go to her interview. But anyway, we are.
This is a huge concept, you guys.
It is.
Huge. It can save lives. We'll talk to her about it. But
yeah,
wow.
Right, and that's something that that's something for you, Jonna, being a boss lady in your office. You could certainly take some pointers out of this.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm looking at her book jacket right now, is people who do bad things usually do them sometimes do them because they don't feel that they have any self-worth and they don't care what happens to themselves from doing those bad things. This is important. This is going to be important. But she's so good. We loved her. We've spoken with her. She's so good. Her energy is so good. She's so smart. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's buddies with Shaquille O'Neal. She's his head happiness coach.
Well, there you go. And she's always got an edge and her neck's always a little sore and she doesn't know why. Hey, Shaq, why is my neck always a little bit sore,
Did you ever see Kevin Hart standing next to him? It's ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Oh, it probably looks like a scene from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because Kevin Hart is vertically challenged somewhat.
Right. He's already a little on the small side, yes.
He's so funny. Yeah. I love him.
He is hilarious.
You know what's not funny?
What?
Spam phone calls.
Oh.
Yes, that is the reason that you, actually, when you did come in, and I did.
You finally let me in.
Admitted you, even though you weren't here for me to admit when I first logged in. Then you got a call, and you accidentally kicked yourself out of the call, out of our
trying to reject the spam, and I rejected myself out of the show. Yeah, but I'm back.
Well, I know that. And now, is that is one of the things that that you had on your complaint list? Because I have the same thing, is the spam call. So so what is it besides the obvious that's bugging you about these?
It's just that I hate them. And so I have a strategy and it mostly works. I never give out my number. Like, I guard it. Like, I have a regular fake number I give for almost everything that requires a cell phone number because I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Oh. It's, this, it's the same one I use every time. And I am so sorry if that really belongs to somebody.
I didn't realize you hated spam calls so much that you're out there buying burner phones at freaking kiosks. You know, little convenience stores in the city.
You have a fake number that you've memorized and you don't know whether it actually is somebody else's.
Well, it's an old landline that I had and I changed it from 845 to 914.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, good.
I should call it one day.
I know.
I don't think it would ring to anybody, but oh my God, that would be, I better check that. I'm not trying to make anybody's life miserable. I'm just trying to guard my, because Frankenberry, you get inundated, don't you?
I do. Apparently,
you were just complaining about
ridiculous.
That.
Ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Well, apparently somebody sold my information again. And
fake number.
Yes. And I have ended up on a list and I haven't yet, you know, been down to say the city, to hop into a small convenience store wearing a hoodie, you know, with sunglasses on, looking for a burner phone. So I'm stuck with my own phone number. But yes, if I told you that I got just in the last 24 hours, probably more than 60 or 70 calls, yes. Spam
yeah,
calls.
I'd be getting a new number.
I am not exaggerating there. And I like, they are interesting in some regard because you like hearing what the new tack happens to be to try to keep you on the line.
Yeah, nope, not me.
Yeah, so the latest is that they will call. They will give you a name, you know, like Samantha or Terry or something to that effect. And they'll ask you, they'll say, hello. They want to make it sound as if they are actually a person that's calling you.
Well, aren't they?
No, they are not.
How do you know?
Because if... while this recorded voice or whatever is talking to you and trying to convince you that it's real, if you say out loud, hey, other person who's listening on the line right now, why don't you blank off and die? They will suddenly hang up the phone. So you know that somebody is still there. But it is entertaining, though. There has been an evolution of these calls that initially started with just waiting for, like, you know, voice activated type thing. They're waiting for you to say something and then it continues with its spiel till eventually it hands you over to the expert. You know, it hands you over to whatever the title they've given to the person who's going to try to sell you crap. And so now sometimes the voice will say, oh, sorry, excuse me. I was fumbling with my computer. OK, I'm back now.
Oh, wow.
Yes. To try to make it sound even more legitimate.
Wow. This is one of the pitfalls of AI.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, I will say, future reference, if you do get to the point where one of the coordinators or the sales experts or whatever jump on with you, when they ask you if you have Medicare Parts A and B, tell them that you also have Medicare Parts C and F. They often hang right up.
Oh, they will. Okay.
Yes, they will. So,
because at that point, you're on with a human who knows that you're on to them. Is that why?
Yes. Or if they ask you, if you get so far as them asking you, are you the person who is in charge of all your medical decisions? And if you instead tell them that, no, I'm not. My mother is in charge of all my medical decisions because I'm bedbound.
Frankenberry.
I had a simple cold and suddenly I lost a leg. So my mother is taking care of me. Then they hang up on that too.
Oh,
Frankenberry.
Okay.
Yeah.
This would be an amazing, hysterical little book. World's best responses to D-bag telemarketers.
And there's a title for it. To D-bag telemarketers.
Yes, there's your title.
That's right. Nicely done from the woman who has the book, Happy Bitch. And I see you're always on that wavelength, are you?
I am.
How can I?
And I can see that? This is a funny little book. Well, okay. And it would be like if they're asking about this, right? They're pitching this. Here's the top. It'd be hysterical. Well, it'd be a great little table book.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yes, it's you know, if you keep them on the line long enough, it can actually be kind of fun. So you just turn it into a little bit of a game.
But 60 calls in 24 hours, you don't have the time to keep them all on the line.
Oh, I'm hoping eventually to get to the point where I'm going to knock myself off the list because it's an immediate decline. You know, I don't have the volume on my phone. I just get, you know, visually, if I see it, I just hit decline. And I'm hoping that eventually I'm not going to rate up to somebody who actually answers.
I can tell you from experience that that will not work because if you could go through here, I'm going to raise my hand. If you could go through my calls list in my phone, now I decline every single, and you don't have an Apple. I have an Apple and it has a lovely little feature where you can hit decline and report to spam. It's beautiful. One boop, one little press of a button. And all they do, Frank and Barry, is they come back as another 845 number.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They try to trick you into thinking they're local.
Yeah.
And they do the same spiel all over again.
Yep.
Right. And the number they use is immediately inactive the second you hang up.
There's a guy on TikTok, a lawyer. I got to look more into it. I wish I had the time. Who basically says he gets his clients money for every spam call that they get.
Oh, Frank and Barry.
Well,
income stream.
Exactly. I was just going to say a whole new stream of income. Yes.
A little side hustle.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I will give them credit, though, too. Some of the names that you see in your caller ID are kind of interesting. Like, for instance, today I got a call from the Culinary Institute.
Did you get one from the Learing Center?
Learing Center.
Yeah. Yes, I got one from Virgin Reynolds. Let's see, who else did I get one from? Theo Magliotti.
Ooh, an Italian.
Yeah, Wells Fargo called me. Who else? IBM. Apparently, they like me. They're quite fond of me. Americo Sanchez.
Americo.
Mine never show a name.
Yes.
I don't think.
My favorite, though, and I might even use this in a story if I need a name, is Malky Fish. And part of their backstory on Malky Fish is that when Malky was a child, he couldn't pronounce his own name because his name is actually Malachi. And he had trouble pronouncing his own name, so thus the reason he is called Malky.
Got you. And does fish have an E at the end?
No, it's actually F-I-S-C-H. So okay, it's a little more. It's a little more interesting. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I understand.
Oh God.
So yeah, Malky Fish. That's definitely a name for a story.
I see it coming.
Yeah. Yep.
Frank and Barry, you know what the other thing you could do is list all the numbers in the appendix of the book of the D-bags that are calling you.
That's right. Oh my God.
So if people felt like harassing, they could dial them.
There you go.
I'm telling you,
hilarious.
It's a winner.
We have to figure out how we can get paid for all these spam calls. Because the do not call list does not work. That has never worked a day in the life. Are you guys on the do not call list?
It just keeps cycling through new phone numbers, so it doesn't matter. I mean, you can't have a phone number on the do not call list that doesn't exist yet.
Right, right.
Carol, could you imagine? What if the person who's getting your BS calls is like a millionaire now because he figured out how to get paid for all the spam calls?
Oh, I'd be mad.
And he's like, sitting back, like, wait, don't change this number. I'm a
maybe I need to
now.
Get a separate phone line just for that and like put my number in every database I can and just have that phone be my source of income.
That's your side hustle. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just got to walk into a lawyer's office and show him my recent calls on my phone.
Under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, companies that use auto dialers or pre-recorded message without your consent, or if you're on the do not call registry, are liable for damages up to $1,500 per call.
But how do you even identify who the source of the phone call
that's,
is?
Yeah, that's the issue. How do you find out who the company is?
Oh, here's what it says. Oh, this is never going to work. See, this is why we don't have $1,500 per call. It says answer and try to get the company's name, website, and physical address. Like, that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, okay. That's not happening.
It's never going to happen.
No. You kidding? They'll take the guy who's calling himself, you know, Tim Johnson today. They'll take him out back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's done.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's my company website and address. Please let us know when you file the complaint for your $1,500.
Yeah. Sorry if I sound out of breath. It's because I'm running away from the office.
But it is so annoying. You would think in this day and age, we would have figured it out.
And the hard part for you, Jonna, is you have to be available. Like, you don't know for sure whether that's spam or potential future client.
Oh, you know for sure. Well, look, what's the worst thing that can happen? You apologize to the actual, to the one possible actual person that tried to call you.
Well, and to be honest with you guys, if you these numbers come up as just numbers, my clients are usually in my phone, so I know who they are. And my clients, like us, they prefer texting to talking a lot of times. So they'll text first, you know, so I know that it's like legit. But I hate when these spammers leave a message, because my mailbox is often full anyway, and they leave messages that I don't see right away. So now if somebody real does try to call me, they can't leave a freaking message. Although, don't leave a message, people. Just text. Like, voicemail boxes should be gone at this point. Who listens to your voicemail box? Do you? I don't.
Well, actually, I have a voice to text for like $5 a month. So occasionally, if I get a message, I'll read that. Yeah.
I don't even want to do that. I don't even want to read. Like, if I'm going to read your voice message, just text me. Cut out the middleman. Hello. Sorry, Verizon. We don't need you for that no more.
Yeah. That's my worst nightmare. The text that comes in. Do you have a minute to talk? No, I don't.
Which is why when Carol calls me or I call her,
we panic.
We're like, oh, no.
Yeah, well, that, good. Hate to tell you, but that's your own fault.
Kind of, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oops.
God, yeah. So anyway, that's that. Quickly before we go, I just got to, and we can save this complaint for next week. I just got to let you know something really crazy. Mm-hmm. Frankenberry, this probably hasn't happened to Carol. Frankenberry, maybe it's happened to you, but Frankenberry, have any of your cats ever in the past learned how to turn the water on full blast in your kitchen sink?
No.
Yes.
Well, it would depend on the actual faucets that you have. So no, I haven't. I mean, and I think I can recall a cat accidentally jumping up on the counter and, you know, turning on a faucet with their butt.
Mm.
But it's not that something they learned from.
Oh, that's an even better thought. Have you touched that handle, Jonna?
Not only have I touched it, I am now Martha freaking Stewart trying to figure out how to secure the nozzle of the faucet so that while I'm away for 8-10 hours a day, they can't do it again. They've done it twice now. So the first time they open your dishwasher and turn on
your water. Yep.
Yeah. I think it's time for you to get a fountain.
I have a fountain.
Oh, okay.
I have a fountain. I think what they do is when there's a window directly above the sink, and I think when something attracts them, they jump up on the sink and they try to get a clear view out the window. And then when they jump off, they hit the lever and that turns on the water. But
gotcha.
It happened in the middle of the night. I woke up, the water's kind of like streaming out very lightly. I'm like, oh, great. I have a ghost. Okay, no problem. I shut the water. The following day, I don't know how long it was on, but the water was piping hot, full blast.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I'm like, if I am gone for a whole day and they do this as soon as like I get in my car, that's a problem.
Well, I'm thinking if you just take a cardboard box upside down and cut a couple of notches in it for the faucet and the handles and put it over that before you leave the house, you'd probably be good.
Ooh.
I like that idea. But knowing these cats, they'll have the box off the faucet. Someone will be playing in it. Somebody else will be doing the dishes and taking a shower when I come home. And hopefully
pick me.
Carol.
Yes, Carol.
Okay. Open up your cabinet doors under your sink. There's a hot and a cold, easy shut off. Just shut your water off in the morning. Okay.
You could do that as well. Yes.
I am so embarrassed that that thought didn't cross my mind. And it's the easiest freaking thought.
You just got to remember to do it.
Right. It's kind of like you just have to check and see if things are actually plugged in.
Well, because you know what? Doing that really will matter to me those cats.
I've been waiting. I was like, could you guys take any longer to get to the segue, for God's sake? Holy cow.
I'm like
twiddling my thumbs here. I'm getting ready to whistle in the wind.
I wasn't in a rush. I was enjoying the conversation.
I'm looking at the time.
I'm looking at the clock too.
All right. When we come back from break, we will be talking to Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. She is a very good friend of the show. She's the author of multiple books, and her latest one is called The Mattering Advantage. And this is really, so anybody who's in a leadership position who wants to truly understand, when you just focus on engagement, that is the result, not the cause of why people are not engaged. And she's going to talk about what the actual cause is, how to really get people to be engaged, contribute more. And in addition, it's not just for leaders, because early on in her book, she talks about how she discovered this concept with teens who became, I think it was camp counselors, and the mattering advantage and how that helped alleviate their stress, their low self-worth, and depression. They saw increased results and all of that. So she's amazing and we love her. And when we come back, we'll be talking with her.
All right. That sounds great. Doc Lombardo, she's on the way next for Jonas Quillmore, for Carol Pesci. I am the Frankenberry and we'll be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spillborg, Carol Pesci, this guy who's important because he introduces Jonna Spillborg and Carol Pesci, and also because he gets to introduce really cool guests. And we've got Doc Lombardo back with us today.
Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, and I just called her, and she's been on the show probably as many times as Jeannie Kelly, who's also one of our favorite people. And I just got corrected because I wanted to be respectful and formal, and no longer can I call her Dr. Lombardo. She is Dr. E. But anyway, she is.
You can call me Dr. Lombardo, but you have to be on my couch. So,
okay, fine. She is a clinical psychologist. She's a certified master coach and physical therapist. She helps people get out of their own way and create a life they love. She translates complex neuroscientific research into bite-sized actionable steps you can take to have less stress, greater happiness, and even more true success. You may have seen her on Today Show, Good Morning America, Dr. Oz, Forbes, New York Times. She's also buddies with Shaquille O'Neal. He calls her her head coach for happiness. And she is here today to talk to us about her newest book, which is called The Mattering Advantage, Unlocking Human Potential to Optimize Performance. Dr. E, welcome back to the show.
Yay! It's always great to be here. Thank you.
We love you. You always bring great energy and you like to play silly with us. And you always bring great knowledge. And this is what I was saying off air before we started, is part of your brilliance is that you can take things that are seemingly complicated, and sometimes they are, but you present it in a way that makes us go, wow, okay, that makes sense. And you've already done it. I'm just starting out reading your book, which I have promoted in the earlier segment, that yes, it is for leadership, but you talk early on in the book about how the same concept can help reduce stress, low self-esteem, depression in anybody, and young teens. You give that example right away. So tell us, what is the basic premise behind your latest book, The Mattering Advantage?
Well, thank you very much. I'm really excited about this. I feel like every time we write books, it's like another child. So here's my newest baby. And mattering, like the term, whether we've heard it being bounced around or not, I assure you we will be hearing a lot more of it, because I think this is the next biggest and greatest movement. But mattering very simply is when we feel like we add value to others and others add value to us. And I first learned about it, I'm on the mental health task force for teens in my town. And I was listening to someone talking about some of the research that's overwhelming, that when people feel like they matter, anxiety and depression go down. Not from medications, not from therapy. There is a time and place for both of those, but just by mattering. And then I had this client who, he's basically like, you know, the big wig on all varsity sports in our town. And he's also a client of mine because I do a lot of sports psychology. He was struggling with anxiety and depression. And I asked him our first time together, I said, when is the time when you didn't feel all of this distress, what I call the red zone? And he said, when he was working, there's a camp here, it's called Camp Hope, where they pair up a teen with a young person with developmental disabilities. And for the entire week, they do everything together. They eat together. They go to the camping outings together. They sleep in the same, you know, area. Everything is together. And this guy told me, he said, I felt no anxiety or depression when I was doing that. Why?
Wow.
Because
wow,
he felt like he mattered. How often are we comparing ourselves to others? How often are we second guessing, am I good enough? How often is that inner critic saying, you are, you know, not good enough. You are a failure. Well, when he was helping this young person, he didn't hear any of that because he knew he mattered. He knew that what he was doing was making a significant impact. And he was not second guessing himself because he could feel how much his effort and time and energy was impacting this incredible person.
Wow. Dr. Lombardo, this is Jonna. So this is interesting because he felt like he mattered to one person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Not to the world, not to his family, not to one single person. And that
and here's the interesting thing. That's great, right? One person. But here's what I want people to understand. We actually don't even need to have people who feel our mattering. Because part of mattering is how are we serving others? But another part of mattering is how am I serving myself? How am I connecting to my authentic self? I was having a conversation with a client the other day who wears one of those aura rings. I do not get paid to say that word, but aura ring. And she was saying how she was doing some art, like a painting project. She was engaging in a hobby that she loves, but she's not really good at, but she was completely focused on this and just, you know, in the flow state. And she looked at her aura ring and it was basically the same output physiologically as what happens when she meditates. That's mattering also. When we apply our strengths, our values, what makes us excited, what makes us unique individuals, that's connecting to what I would call our authentic self. And that's when we matter too.
Wow.
That makes sense in the sense that it really does come down to how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're depressed, chances are you're feeling maybe less worthy.
Of course. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if life sucks,
depression is life is horrible. I'm horrible. And it's never going to get better. Those are the three cornerstone thoughts of someone with depression. But when we're looking at how am I mattering? How am I contributing to a cause greater than myself? That's where mattering can come in. And we can do this. We can do this in any time. So I'm talking about working with kids. I'm talking about this individual and doing a hobby. But looking at how can we apply this in our lives? There's a beautiful story about when President John F. Kennedy went to NASA and they were trying to get working on getting a man on the moon. And he saw this gentleman pushing a broom around, a janitor. And the story goes that the president went up to this individual and said, "Hey, what do you do here?" And the gentleman responded, "I'm helping get a man on the moon."
He knew what he was doing
as mattering. And so, what does that mean for us? Okay, so not all of us are helping get someone on the moon, but what are you doing and how is that making an impact? Not because of likes on social media, maybe not even because people are saying, "Hey, good job," but internally, how is what you are doing mattering to you, to others, to nature, to a cause greater than yourself? And we all can do that because that really is about just looking at what's important to us and how are we making an impact.
And getting out of our own heads and looking outward. Why are we here? What do we bring to the table? And it doesn't have to be huge. It can be a simple act of kindness. It can be a simple thing to look around us and how can we have a positive impact on somebody else, right?
Literally holding the door for someone who is behind you. Looking in their eyes, thanking the barista, like sincerely thanking them for your drink. All of these little acts, they seem little, but when you have that connection, when you know that you are doing something positive for that other person, that helps them feel like they matter. That helps us feel like we matter.
Dr. E, how do you mentioned something that's really interesting. How can you recognize fake mattering? And I say that because of your reference to it's not about social media likes, yet we have so many influencers, et cetera, who live for the like, but to me that must be fake mattering. And how do you recognize
that? Excellent point. So first of all, the way that I view mattering is a human need. We all whether we conscientiously choose how we matter or it is an unconscious decision, we all matter. Just like we all eat. Some of us will choose healthy choices, some less healthy choices. So some of the less healthy choices on mattering, and again, this is mostly unconscious, are things like bullying. What does a bully do? A bully puts people down and feel better about themselves. I just got a really nasty comment on one of my videos, ironically, on mattering. And it's this person trying to feel better about themselves by putting me down. Intolerance. Any any of you witnessing any intolerance lately? Like, those people are just trying to feel better about themselves. I'm right and you're wrong, so I feel superior.
Dr. E, let me just tell you right now, John and I are both New Yorkers, so we're going to check that comment and we will handle this for you, okay?
Yeah, we got it. Don't you worry.
That person is no longer. I am Pardo, so you know, I have ties to the mafia too. No.
Yeah, there's something about kneecaps in there, Doc.
Oh my goodness.
But here's the thing. It's important that we understand that. Oh, and then going back to likes on social media, that's also one that probably I would call that conditional self-worth. Like, I feel good about myself if and only if these conditions are met. And so those are not the healthiest ways of mattering, because one, they are not rooted in who our authentic self is. Who are we? What are our core values, our strengths? Like, what makes us that unique human being on this earth right now? So understanding that, but then understanding most of that is an unconscious process. The conscious process is, how do I want to feel like I matter? Maybe it's serving others, it's volunteering, it's mentoring, it's, again, engaging in a hobby. It's connecting with nature, with my four-legged son is right by my feet right now. So, you know, our people in our lives, and it's really looking at, how can I feel like I matter and how can others feel like they matter because of me? But in that authentic, what I would call unconditional love and unconditional self-worth space.
Dr. E, this is a little bit of a tangent question, but it's popping in my head.
I won't
is that why... Isn't that billet to Jana? is that why it's so difficult for us as human beings? Like, it's almost more painful for us to be ignored than to be criticized.
Oh,
that's so good.
Oh,
thank you. Frankenberry, take that sound bite.
Mic drop on that. Yeah, because at least if we're criticized, we still matter. There are a couple songs that I listen to, and I can't think of any right now, of course, as I'm trying to. But, you know, where you hear like, you know, I'd rather have you be mean to me than not remember me.
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, that not mattering hurts more than if you do matter, just not in a positive way.
Okay, so let's go back to, you know, we love you. We can go all day with this, but let's go back to your latest book, The Mattering Advantage. You primarily wrote it for workplace. And we've just had a fantastic discussion on how we can consciously put ourselves in a position to feel like we matter more, how we can understand other people to make them feel like they matter more, young teens, anybody. Let's talk about the application of this in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So engagement is such a buzzword. Everybody's working on, how do we get more engagement? And you say in your book that when you focus only on engagement, that is the result. Engagement, and you're kind of putting your energy in the wrong place, that mattering is the cause. So can we speak to that angle?
Yeah. So engagement is you know, technically it's when people go above and beyond what they have to do. They aren't just doing what they need to do. They're saying, hey, I am invested in this team, in this organization, in our mission. And so I want to make the effort to make it more successful. In order to have that, though, people need to feel like they matter. And what I find a lot in organizations is, even if their engagement scores, at least initially, are doing okay, when I'm talking to people about mattering, they feel like they are replaceable. They feel like, even if they're like, hey, get the, hey, good job, they don't really feel like people truly appreciate what they are doing. So it's not just recognition, but it's knowing that, you know, here's the thing, belonging, we've heard about belonging before. Belonging is, you belong here. Mattering is, if you aren't here, we miss you. We've heard about the importance of psychological safety, to be able to express what you want. Mattering is not only you safe to do it, but we actually care. We're going to listen and we're going to apply what you have shared with us. So it really is a lot deeper. But again, with engagement, in order to be engaged, we need to feel like we matter. If I don't feel like I matter and I don't matter to the organization or the team, why would I ever put in any extra effort? That's where I call it the compliance illusion. They're doing their jobs, but if they don't feel like they matter, they're not going to speak up. If they see something, a problem, they're not maybe going to speak up and say, hey, here's a problem, let's fix it before it becomes a bigger problem. That's where mattering comes in.
Dr. E, can you share the example you give early on in your book? Was it Taco Bell? Was it the employee from Taco Bell? Yeah. Can you talk about that? That's a perfect example of exactly what you're talking about.
Such a great example. So one of my mentors is Greg Creed, and he was kind enough to actually write the cover quote, but he shared with me this story. So Greg Greg was the CEO of Yum, before that, the CEO of Taco Bell, before that, the CMO of Taco Bell. And one day he comes into this, you know, Taco Bell, and a woman who's in food engineering, her name is Lois, presents him with this really weird looking blob of like, it's a hexagon shaped thing. And he realized immediately what it was. It was basically a taco that had an outside shell. Now, they had never had anything like this. And one of the problems with Taco Bell at the time was the portability, right? A burger you can eat easily in the car. A taco, it's like a sloppy Joe with a crunch on both ends. So he realized immediately that this was going to change everything. And it did. And we'll talk about what it was. But he then asked Lois, when did you come up with this? And he figured she had come up with it that day, maybe the night before. She had presented this concept to five different leaders at Taco Bell before anyone did anything with it. So just spoiler alert, this became the Crunch Wrap Supreme. In the first 6 weeks, they sold 51 million units. They consistently sell billions of dollars every single year from this one creation. Why is this about mattering? Because one, she felt safe enough to tell him, but two, she knew that he would listen. Didn't matter that she wasn't on the, you know, C-suite, and that he would do something about it. That is mattering.
That's such a crazy story.
So good, right? So next time you go to Taco Bell, remember, this is all about mattering.
Great stuff. We're wrapping up here with Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, also known as Dr. E. She is the author of multiple books. The latest one is called The Mattering Advantage. Dr. E, if people want to piggyback on your wisdom, because you're brilliant and you're fun, buy your books, how do people follow you, get more of you, essentially?
Yeah, just join me on Instagram. We're trying to do a lot in terms of really getting this message out of what mattering is, how we can feel like we matter, and how we can share that with others. Because if you can imagine a world where people feel like they matter in healthy and helpful ways, that's the place I want to live.
No kidding. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank
congratulations
you. I always love
on your
with
new
you
book.
All. You all always make me happy during our hour together.
We love talking with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Doc, nice to talk to you again. And we are not done yet. We've got segment number three on the way. And Carol, who are we going to be talking to?
We are going to be talking to a local entrepreneur who owns an organic granola company. And she's friends with, guess who? Jeannie Kelly. but she's got a really interesting story. So when we come back, we will be talking with her, the entrepreneur, and her mother.
All right. That sounds good. For Jonna Spillborn, for Carol Pesci, I am this Frankenfella, and we will be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time. It's Happy Hour. Jonna Spillborn, Carol Pesci, some fella named Frankenberry, and hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Sounds mad.
Yeah, she does sound mad.
Because I got the mic drop from Dr.
Well, yeah, well, apparently, yeah, Carol got a mic drop from our guest, Doc Lombardo, back there, because she asked a really smart question. And John is very upset because, as you all know, listening to the show, that you can we can pretty much count on two hands the number of smart questions John has ever asked. So... so she's a little upset with Carol right now, and she's taking it personally. She's stomping her feet.
She's rolling her eyes right now.
She's holding her breath until she turns blue. Anything else, Jonna?
No, that's it. All right. So we have a bonus guest for the show this week. We have a local entrepreneur who owns and runs George's Organic Granola. And her mom are here with us for a little bit to tell. They have an interesting backstory to tell. So Maria and Georgia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Hello.
Very happy. Hello, Georgia. Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good. Okay. So tell us the backstory. I saw a little bit in your the email that your mom sent us, whoever wants to speak, whoever's comfortable, of how George's Organic Granola got started.
I'm her mom. I'm Maria. We started back in 2024 when Georgia graduated high school. Being a special ed student her whole student career, we had to figure out how to pivot So we decided that we were going to start something. She had gotten a scholarship from Ulster BOCES for a small amount of money, $600. And we decided to use that money for seeds and oats in order to create something that was hands-on that could bring her to the next phase of her life. Being autistic has its challenges, but we needed to figure it out in a different way for her that fits our lifestyle, that fits our family. So we decided, we came up with one flavor, and that summer we launched our little business. Georgia, you want to say something?
I can lead it with a question. Georgia, so you can answer yes or no. Was it intimidating, or was it exciting for you to start your own business, or maybe a little of both?
I was like really excited about it.
Awesome. And when you're now in Adams, everybody loves shopping. Adams Kingston, I know at least we can find your product. Who was the one to approach the buyers of the store to ask them to carry your product?
We were at a vendor fair at the middle school that she went locally at Miller. And actually the grocery manager had stopped by our table and asked us if we wanted to be a vendor on their shelves.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. She had come and it was a little bit of a frenzy at the table at that time because all of Georgia's old teachers were coming by and picking up bags of granola, talking to her, seeing how she was doing. And she said, "Here's my card. Give me a call and we'd like to have you on our shelves."
That's so awesome. What a great story. So tell us and our listeners, if someone wants to support Georgia and her organic granola business currently right now, where in the Hudson Valley can you purchase?
We are right now in Adams, in Poughkeepsie and Kingston. We are in Sunflower Market in Woodstock. We are at Walk Hill View Farm Stand in New Paltz. There's a small shop called The Buzzing Bee in Saugerties, and I'm not sure. Mother Earth Storehouse in Kingston.
Oh, fantastic. And do you have capacity to grow your business? If you got more accounts, could you supply those, or does this suit you right now?
Well, we're always looking to expand. We're always looking to grow as far as not only just helping Georgia, but maybe helping other kids like her. To come up with a purpose in their life, because I really believe once some of these kids get out of school, there needs to be a different focus. And it's hard
This just tie right into our guest in the last segment, right? Yeah. To find something where you feel like you're contributing and you matter, right?
Yes, yes. And I see her light up when she talks to our customers, because we go and we give samples out usually monthly to our stores. So that way Georgia can interact and have that interpersonal relationship with our customers. And, you know, they come up, "Georgia, I love your granola. I love the different flavors." And you can see her perk right up and she talks to them. Right now she's a little bit shy, but, you know, she perks right up when she sees people.
That's fantastic. Maria, go ahead.
Sorry, Maria. I think I'm on your website and I'm looking at your mascot. Dixie, is that your mascot? Does Dixie approve of the granola? Do you have any Dixie granola, like dog friendly granola?
We don't, but that's a great idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a great idea? You said that's a great
brother.
Idea.
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, again, Georgia, Maria, you may not have heard this, but Jonna has a very large chip on her shoulder about the fact that Carol always comes up with great ideas.
Jonna on the other hand, stupid question.
Right. She's a little lacking in the great idea department.
She's also a brilliant attorney, and I love her.
Yes, but you guys have given her a kudo. And I have to tell you, from Carol and I, from our perspective, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, one last question before we wrap up. Do you have any key retailers in the area that if they happen to be listening that you'd love to offer your granola?
We are open to larger and smaller companies that are interested. We are certified by the Department of Agriculture, and it is a home-based business, so that it could limit us
to some of the larger supermarkets, but we are in
LA City. And, you need a kitchen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're slowly growing. So we are probably at the precipice that we need to expand into that.
Well, let's hope our time together today helps grow your business, yes, both from retail buyers and maybe a store or two or five that are listening right now that may bring in Maria and Georgia. Congratulations. It's not easy starting a business. It takes a lot of courage and perseverance. And we recognize that in both of you. So congratulations on your business. We wish you all the best. And thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. You're welcome, you. Georgia.
You are more than welcome. And Georgia, you never need to worry about feeling shy because, I mean, as you can tell here, my last name is Frankenberry. It's a pretty silly last name. So don't worry about being shy. You've got granola and the granola's cool. All right. So anyway, to Maria and also to Georgia, thank you so much for joining us. When you get an opportunity, check out their website to check out some very, very tasty granola. Go to georgiasgranola.com. For Doc Lombardo earlier, and of course for Jonas Philbor and Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry, and everybody enjoy a week, and we'll be back next week, same time.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Philbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.